Merci à vous. Thank you very much. And if there are no further interventions under section 3, we will close this section. And so before we wrap up today, I would just like to make a few concluding remarks, and I'll also make available, we'll open the floor for any reflections that you may have on the process and on the progress we have made over the last 3 days. So the first thing I need to do is to thank you really, really sincerely for your constructive engagement and your contributions over the last 3 days. They have definitely proven that we needed to have in-person discussions and in-person consultations here in Geneva. And the round of consultations that we've had have delivered exactly what we were hoping for in terms of narrowing down the number of issues that remain open in the text. And that has happened because of the constructiveness with which you have engaged. And I definitely would say that we have sensed a real sense in the room of commitment to this process. And that is hugely welcome, not least because of the broader environment in which we are meeting and which we noted at the opening of our meetings. So we have a greater sense of perspective now on the key issues, and I think we have moved the process forward. Now, just to be clear, I said yesterday that we do not intend to table a draft this afternoon. We will need a little more time to analyse fully your interventions and also the proposals that you submit in written form to us. Thank you to those of you who have submitted already, and I strongly encourage you, those who haven't, to do so as quickly as possible. And we will be following up over the next week to make sure that we have all of the interventions, because that input is going to be very important in the next phase. So it's not really my job today to anticipate what changes will be made in the final version which we produce, but in asking for your reflections, I thought I might first give our sense first of where we see the process following the last 3 days. Our exchange on section one, I felt, was very substantive, and the interventions were clear in expressing the importance of this section for framing the issue and setting out the fundamental need for a political declaration. And in saying this, I should add that, of course, every section in the declaration is linked. It has to be seen as a whole. They are all linked. It's very clear in section one that while there will be some tweaks required, some changes, we are moving towards a convergence in that section. We all see the need for a civilian-centred approach underpinned by a call for the full respect of IHL in armed conflict. We also heard that consistency and accuracy in the terminology used in the preamble is particularly important because it sets the boundaries and understandings for the linked operational commitments that follow. So I can assure you that we will work with your help to harmonise terminology. We must be careful, however, not to overburden the text, which is a political text, and so we don't want to overburden it with too much technical definition. On section two, virtually every delegation spoke of the importance of setting out existing obligations and commitments under applicable international law, including IHL and international human rights law. There are some drafting issues remaining, but we've seen significant movement towards a convergence in this section also. We've maintained the understanding from all delegations that the declaration should not set out to reinterpret applicable international law or create any new legal standards or obligations. And I think it's important to state this again. We have stated it regularly throughout, but it's a critical point. It was reaffirming the applicability of IHL to all parties to armed conflict in the declaration is especially important for some delegations. Additionally, it is essential that the text makes clear that IHL applies to all forms of armed conflict and does not imply a hierarchy of obligations for UIPA. Section 3, we always have known that Section 3 was going to be possibly the most difficult or the most detailed area for discussion. But I think we've had a particularly useful and a particularly interactive discussion on Section 3. Now, there are clearly differences of opinion remaining, but we have seen a very positive, solution-oriented approach to the section. And I again want to thank the delegations that took the floor with constructive proposals and a spirit of flexibility. We have received proposals in terms of language, but also I know that these proposals are still being discussed between and among delegations, and this is good. This is what we want to happen. And I would strongly encourage these discussions to continue, and we will remain in contact with you on these discussions. There is a dynamic developing that is exactly what we would have hoped for. So in this section, we have also been clear that a simple restatement of IHL is not sufficient. Otherwise, I think we wouldn't need a political declaration. The declaration must have commitments that are meaningful and must bring added value in terms of the protection of civilians. And from talking to you, I get the sense that that is the clear view. This is the fundamental reason for our engagement in this process. So we, the team, the Irish team, will continue to reach out to delegations on this section in general, and in particular on paragraph 3.3 to further refine the divergences that exist. But again, I say it is hopeful and positive that those discussions have started between you already. On section 4, we are very pleased that a number of delegations believe the text is moving in the right direction and indeed is almost ready for adoption. There are some drafting issues that will need to be resolved, and further work will be required on the issues such as data collection and victim assistance to get the language fully correct. But nevertheless, we are really encouraged that a large number of delegations see great value in improving international cooperation and assistance on these issues. There also remains a strong interest and support for conducting practical activities that would help develop best practices for the protection of civilians. And this is essential for making a real difference on the ground. And throughout, we have said, and I think there is general agreement, that we are not simply working on a formula of words in a political declaration. We want to make a real difference and an impact on the ground and to foster behavioural change. We have heard calls for greater inclusivity in any follow-on activities to ensure that not only states, but also international organisations and civil society play an active role in the implementation of the political declaration. But I think it's very important that we state and that we understand that the follow-on mechanism is not going to be a forum to judge individual states' compliance with IHL. And I know that's an issue that has been raised with us by quite a good number of states. So that's just generally our view of where we stand following these consultations. I cannot stress strongly enough how encouraged we are by the spirit with which they have been by which you have participated with them. On that note, rather than I'm not going to close the meeting because later on I'll come back with our plans for the future, but I would like to give an opportunity now and to open the floor to delegations to share their views and reflections on the discussions we've just had and on their suggestions for the way ahead. And then we can respond and close the meeting by setting out our view as to how we should proceed. So I'm going to open the floor for some reflections. They don't have to be actually kind of comprehensive reflections, but just an idea of how you feel the session has gone and where we are and where we need to go in the period ahead. Thank you very much. I open the floor and just raise your nameplate if you would like to intervene. If not, of course, we won't force you. Inu has the floor.